So, hey, West Liberty, joining me today is Sean Fluharty. Sean is a member of the West Virginia House of Delegates. He represents District 3, and he's been serving for 5 years. So today we're going to be talking about some of the education bills that he sponsors and a little bit about his past in politics. How are you today, Sean?
Great. How you been?
I'm good. All right. So before we start talking about the different bills that you sponsor, how did you get into politics?
Oh, wow. Well, obviously, I grew up with an interest in politics like many people. I was a journalism major, which I can tell this is this for a journalism class?
Yes.
Okay, so I started out in journalism and graduated from WVU journalism school. Back then, it was called the Perley Isaac Reed School of Journalism. Now it's the School of Media. And then decided to go to law school and spent some time in Charleston during legislative session, helping out a firm down there while I was still in college, and just kind of fell in love with the process. And after going to law school, decided I would jump into the political arena and ran for office. And here we are today.
So what was your first, like, I don't want to say this, your first political, like, stepping stone, I guess you could say, like, how'd you get actually into office?
Well, the first part was simply seeing the legislative process firsthand as an intern down there in Charleston. So that was step one for me. And that's where I really grew the interest. As far as running goes, I ran for the House of Delegates and was unsuccessful at first and decided to, you know, don't give up, keep going and keep fighting. And finally got in, like you said, about 5 years ago and had another successful reelection recently. So, you know, that was my first step in, was finally getting across the finish line. I haven't served in any other capacity. I didn't run for anything else. My interest has always been on the legislative process and state politics. So I haven't been on school board or city council or anything else. I've really been focused on the legislative side of things.
All right. So today I wanted to focus, since this is a college radio station, I wanted to focus on the education bills that you sponsor. So the first one is House Bill 2339, which would be the establishing the stay-in-state tax credit. So what exactly is that one?
Okay. So I don't want to get too nerdy for you, but I'll try to break it down as simplistic as I can. So the stay-in-state tax credit is an incentive for an employer to hire somebody from the state of West Virginia and for somebody like you who gets out of college and may have some student debt. So just as a backdrop, West Virginia actually ranks number 2 in the entire country for defaults on student loans. So what does that mean? Young people who are living here, they can't pay their student loan debt. But what's the incentive for you to stay here? One, you can't find the job you want. And two, if you can't pay your student loan debt, you end up going somewhere else. So this idea is, what can we do to incentivize keeping young people here? And part of that is, how can we help them with their student loans? So what this would do would allow your prospective employer, so say you get a job somewhere in the state of West Virginia, and your employer says, you know what, I will help you on your student loans. And I think we were thinking about capping it at $5,000 a year. And for that, they would get a tax credit. So it's almost like a partnership with your employer, but they get the tax credit on the back end. So you may be able to pay your student loans on your own. At the same time, your employer is going to help you out on that as well, and they're going to get a tax credit on the back end. So it's a tax credit structure system that incentivizes young people. So your job that you're offered here in West Virginia, it may be $10,000 less than what you're offered in, say, North Carolina, okay? So you're looking at it and you're competing the differences. Should I stay here with family and friends, or do I go to North Carolina? It pays $10,000 more a year and I have student loans. Well, we're trying to make that decision harder for you, because now if your employer can help you on that issue, it might make that difference for you and it might make the decision for you.
All right. So basically it's sort of trying to keep West Virginia residents in state, and I'm assuming help boost the economy as well.
Absolutely. I mean, young people here that are staying, having trouble paying their student loans, you know what else they're not doing? They're not buying homes. They're not buying cars. They're not doing the things that actually drive the economy. So we want to help young people stay here. And at the same time, it's more than just staying here. It's having the quality of life here as well. And hopefully doing the things that we need you to do to help drive the economy forward in West Virginia.
So what's the plan to actually set that into motion?
Well, it goes through the committee process and gets introduced. I've introduced it now. I think it's 2 years at least that it's been sitting out there. When we have budget issues, bills like that that involve tax credits, which mean it costs the state money, right? So bills like that are harder to get across the finish line, but you know, given the situation we have now, where 2020 has been a crazy year, we know this, it's crazy for our budgets and everything else. At the same time, we have to focus on what's next for our state. And I think young people should be first and foremost at the top of the list. So it'll go through the committee process. It'll go through education committee. Usually bills like that will end up in judiciary as well, which I serve on judiciary. And it's just a matter of getting the support from your colleagues to get across the finish line.
All right. And then the next one I wanted to talk about is House Bill 4921, which would be the student athletes being allowing student athletes to be compensated for use of their name, image, or likeness. So does this mean that they could have sponsorships?
It means that they could contract with somebody if their name is being used. So in other words, if they want to do a commercial for a local car dealership, right? Right now, they're not allowed to do that. If the football team wants to use your name on merchandise, right now, you don't get compensated for it under NCAA rules. This will be a state law saying that you should and you should be allowed to receive compensation for your image and likeness. Now, for instance, if you are an individual who is great at science, okay, and you receive national recognition in the field of science from West Liberty, okay, and you, as a result of that, you contract with somebody for an endorsement. They want to use your name to help get out some sort of merchandise. Well, you as an individual at school that's not part of the NCAA, you're allowed to do that right now. So why is every other student allowed to get out there and use their name, image, and likeness to make money off of it, but not a student athlete? It doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. So you're seeing many states introduce legislation like I have to say, look, you deserve fair compensation for what you're doing.
Okay. So outside of, obviously this would benefit the athletes, but outside of that, do you think it could have any benefits for the school or anything else like that?
Well, a school's benefiting tremendously as it is now, right? You know, I think you're probably a little too young, but Pat White, if you remember him at WVU, how many jerseys did they sell of Pat White's? You know, how many tickets were sold because of Pat White and Steve Slayton? They were there back in my heyday. Well, they made a lot of money for the school, and they didn't get a penny back. And I think that's the real issue here. Sure, they have scholarships, and they're able to play football, and they get advantages because of that. But, you know, in a free market system, they shouldn't have a ceiling based upon that. They should be able to, if their name and image is being used and somebody else is making money off of it, then they should be able to receive a portion of that as well.
Right. Okay. And then the next two, these were the two that I was most interested in. So House Bill 4440, which would be prohibiting the homeschooling of children in certain circumstances. So what circumstances would that be prohibited in?
So right now, that law, it's not in law yet, but that bill was pushed because of a circumstance in Southern West Virginia where a homeschool child ended up losing her life. And she had a guardian who was abusive, and reports were made. They were not followed up on, and she ended up in a very, very bad situation. And there's kind of a loophole in the law in West Virginia. And all this law does that I introduced says, if there's a pending investigation against you, okay, a pending investigation against the household, anything related to domestic violence, child abuse, things of that nature, that must be finalized before a child is allowed to be homeschooled. That prevents people who are in an abusive household from essentially just taking the kid out of school, out of public school, and using this kind of loophole in the law and put a child in a dangerous situation. So it's a safety bill to keep kids from being in a situation that we might be able to stop that from happening, or at least be aware of it if they're in a public school setting.
Yeah, so I was really curious about that one just because my cousins have been homeschooled since their entire lives, actually. So I was just wondering what the circumstances were with that one, but that's definitely, that doesn't apply to them, but that, I think that's really important. I never actually thought of that side of things. I never realized like being in an abusive household, if they are getting homeschooled, they don't have that escape. So my next question would have been, what are the benefits? But you kind of answered that already. So then finally, this one grabbed my attention because I'm a recipient of the Promise Scholarship. So it says that it's House Bill 2059, and it's expanding the amount of Promise Scholarship funds awarded to persons majoring in STEM majors. So what specifically about STEM majors, like what is it that stands out about STEM majors that we want to give them more money or expand the amount of recipients? Or
well, we lack in our state compared to other states young people who, first off, who actually go to school for in the STEM fields, okay? And we're losing these students when they graduate, they take off. So what can we do to incentivize getting in that field and then staying in the state on the back end? So if you want to kind of merge the bills we've discussed, if we get more people in the STEM field and then we help them on the back end with any potential student loans that are out there, we just want to incentivize both things happening. So when you look at West Virginia and you wonder, wait, where are all the young people and why are they all leaving? And why don't we have more people in the STEM field? Well, you know, it turns out they're not finding the jobs available to them afterwards, or they want to leave the state because the student loan issue, and they don't have an interest in going in that field to begin with. Okay, well, then how do we get them interested in that field? Well, if we were to increase the allotment of the Promise Scholarship for that particular field and for STEM, for research and development in the STEM field, then we might get them into that field more often. That's all it is. It's just, we don't know the data on how many may take advantage of it. At the same time, it'd be a great incentive, right? If you were debating going to school in West Virginia and you had competing offers elsewhere, wouldn't you stay in West Virginia potentially and choose a school in West Virginia if you knew that the Promise Scholarship was going to have more teeth to it for you? I think most people would, and at least it makes that decision harder to leave. So both of those bills are designed to make it harder to leave West Virginia as a young person. We want to keep you here. You know, the best and brightest we have, we need to keep you here. So both, that's kind of the angle of many of the pieces of legislation that I introduce, is just simply asking the question, what can we do to keep people here, young people, and how can we incentivize them doing so, and how do we make the decision to leave harder?
Right. So then, if this does become a law, if STEM majors are receiving more funding, will the other recipients receive less, or is there going to be an effort to raise funds?
No, it wouldn't affect other recipients whatsoever. All we would do is essentially the cap that currently exists would be raised for STEM majors. That's all.
The funding for that work. Do we have the funds for that already?
We do. So the funding for the Promise Scholarship comes from many different avenues. One in particular comes from West Virginia Lottery, for example. So the funds that we receive. So those funds are always coming in. The number would just look different. So right now in West Virginia, the funds for the Promise Scholarship, they always change because we have different number of recipients every year, right? So this would increase the number of recipients, and we'd be able to look at the data and say, okay, that number of X represents a number of recipients. So if you have STEM majors, their allotment may be a little higher, but the data will show us how many there are, and we can back end it like that. So no, there's no real concerns as far as funding issues go if we were to increase them.
Okay. And then my last question for this one, I was reading an article, I forget the title of it, but Bonnie Copenhaver, she's a president of New River Community and Technical College. She said that by opening the doors for this grant to STEM majors, we would also be complementing the increase of Promise for the STEM majors. Do you agree? And the grant is the West Virginia Invest grant. So do you agree or disagree with this?
So could you repeat that? What did she say?
Yeah, she said that by opening the doors to the West Virginia Invest grant, which would be all participating schools, our technical and community colleges, and it will pay for any amount up to the total cost of tuition or mandatory fees that wouldn't be covered by any other grants. So she said by opening the doors to that grant for STEM majors, we would be complementing the increase of Promise for the STEM majors. Do you agree or disagree, and why?
So the grant that she's talking about increases it for STEM majors and open it. I'm not following exactly what it does, the grant itself.
So it's a lots and dollar program. And it says it will pay for any amount up to the total cost of tuition and mandatory fees that wouldn't already be covered by any other scholarships or grants that student has received. So through opening the doors of this grant to STEM majors, she believes that we would be complementing the increase of Promise for STEM majors as well.
Okay, I follow it now. Yeah, I mean, so the grant program, it sounds like it's very similar to what I was trying to do through legislation. And allow an incentive for STEM majors and just It does the same thing. Now, it sounds like it goes farther. It actually increases it, because it sounds like that grant covered, was that full coverage across the board as compared to the Promise Scholarship, which would just be a limited, you know, section of your total cost to go to college. But at the end of the day, it's the same goal. STEM majors, young people, keeping them here and making it harder to leave when you're out. So I fully support that idea. And, you know, there are many other states that look into similar pieces of legislation and grants available, because it's really a national crisis right now for states, is getting people into those majors, because they're not the hot majors anymore. You know, they're not the majors that people are looking to get into. But at the end of the day, they're very important, especially in a year where we have a pandemic. Now we know just how important STEM majors are in this country.
All right. Well, that's pretty much all the questions I have for you. Is there anything else you want to touch on before we go?
No, I appreciate your time, and happy to talk to you or anybody else anytime on the legislative process. And good to see young people like yourself that are interested in what's going on. We need more people like you interested.
All right. Thank you so much.